Bulldog Live continues here on the Pulse at 1-866-823-1077, discussing Northern Pass, which, by the way, there's going to be a, well, I guess you could call it an informational forum. It'll be held in Deerfield at the community school in the cafeteria tomorrow night at 7 p.m., put on by a group of concerned citizens who, you know, are very worried about the impact of the Northern Pass project. Jack Savage of the Forest Society will give a presentation opposing the Northern Pass project. So again, in Deerfield, 7 p.m. tomorrow night at the Deerfield Community School in the cafeteria. And you can go to my website, briantilton.com, to get directions and more information for that. 1-866-823-1077. Continuing our conversation with Christoph Courchain of the Conservation Law Foundation, one of the number of groups who filed a letter with the Department of Energy. And we want to talk a little bit more because, you know, we got a little distracted with talking about the other issues of this environmental impact study. But it's still important for our listeners to know to in order for them to fully understand what's at stake here in this.
No, absolutely. Amazing thing about this process is that it's going to take a number of years. There'll be a number of steps that are all very different. This NEPA process that we're currently in is a very, theoretically, it's a very open process. DOE is collecting a lot of information and putting it together in this report. There will be more formal proceedings when the project wants to go before the Site Evaluation Committee, and before the PUC in the future. And so CLF is going to be engaged throughout, including the more formal processes, which are harder for, you know, someone from the general public to get directly involved in. Mm. But this DOE process is a kind of golden opportunity for people. There will be another opportunity and probably another series of public hearings when the draft environmental impact statement comes out.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So there will be an additional point. Once that large document comes out, people will have some time to digest it, but will have to do so fairly quickly, and then can come out and tell DOE what their view is of that document and how it's been done and whether it's been done well.
So you want to make sure that the draft EIS contains a number of items in there.
The goal of this letter, which we submitted last week, is to ensure that that draft EIS, which will reflect a tremendous amount of work on DOE's part if it's done well, that document is good from the start, mm-hmm. rather than, you know, inadequate, and then having to have everyone come out and say it's inadequate in 10 different ways, and then have them to go back and rewrite it. That's a hard thing for agencies to do once they've put pen, you know, once they've issued a document and it's gone through all the internal review processes that they have, for them to change course dramatically. And so what we're trying to do here is to ensure that that initial report, which is going to be a massive document, it's going to be very important to the future state reviews of the project as well. It'll play a significant role there. So we want it to be good
probably
from the start.
Yes. No, exactly. As comprehensive as possible is what you're saying. The public comment period is open for just a few more days, just about another week, actually. April 12th is the deadline, through the Conservation Law Foundation. Do you have some pointers for people to talk to, or, you know, where to send their comments between now and April 12th?
Sure. You can... To learn more about the scoping process and the comment period, we do have a lot of information on our website, which is clf.org/northernpass. It's fairly easy to remember. We do have information about how you can get involved in the types of comments that might be useful. If you have specific comments about the project route's impacts on your property or your community, particularly things that may not be in the public domain, like environmental concerns about particular pieces of property and particular resources, that's going to be very helpful to DOE.
Some ponds, you may have some wetlands, some wildlife habitat, you know, things like that.
Exactly. And there may also be cultural things and historic resources, which
yes,
you want to highlight that might be impacted. If you feel very strongly about
Indian burial grounds in Chichester, I'm thinking, you know.
It's a very large project. It cuts across a tremendous swath of New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And so there are going to be issues in each town, and it's important for DOE to know, to have that information so that they can take it into account. The other thing is to request DOE to do the type of analysis we're talking about of alternatives to the project. If you oppose the project, it's important for you to mention that, obviously. But if you have written comments about things you think DOE should consider, and different technologies, different routes, that's the type of comment that is going to be particularly helpful.
Well, and there's a huge range of issues that they can be looking at, and one only needs to look at the Federal Register notice, which actually summarizes some of the issues that they could be and should be looking at. I'll just run over a few of these. Threatened and endangered species, airspace utilization, public health and safety, noise, natural hazards, hazardous materials, accidents and intentional destructive acts, cultural and historical resources, recreational resources, visual resources, socioeconomic impacts, environmental justice considerations, cumulative impacts, you know, past, present, and what could be in the future. So, I mean, that's just a few of the things that they even say
in that notice. They do provide a fairly good list. One thing that they didn't focus on too much is the energy picture, and we think that's a really critical piece of this
analysis.
What would
be the need?
What's the need? What's the purpose of the project? Is it to provide power to the regional grid? And where's the justification for the amount? I mean, does it have to be 1,200 megawatts? Could it be somewhat less, and the project could be designed differently? Could it, if it was moved to another right of way and was slightly less capacity, would that be something that makes sense? So those types of questions are things we'll be raising in our comments that we're submitting. But we, you know, encourage the public to add their voices to that.
Very good. Well, again, your website?
clf.org/Northern Pass for our Northern Pass information.
Okay, very good. Christoph Korshain, nice to meet you. And again,
nice to meet you too,
people,
Brian,
can listen to your testimony that you gave at the Pembroke public scoping meeting on my website, briantilton.com. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Brian. It was
good
a pleasure.
Luck.